Hello once more, and welcome back to The Roundup, coming to you from CBC Vancouver. My name is Bill Richardson, and as always, at this time of the week, we'll turn now to the Mystery Project. And this week, we start Clean Sweep Volume 2. These are brand new episodes in the lives of Bonnie and Ben Marsden. Membertou County's weather can be raw at this time of year, but not as raw as the tragedy about to unfold along the Marsden's Road. The play is called Cold Storage. It was written by Alf Silver, and it stars Deborah Allen and Richard Donat.
You got no brains at all, Clay? Barking in this weather. You should be snugged up in your house. That's what I'm going to do as soon as I get this. What the heck's got into you? Oh. It's all right, Clay. It's all right, miss. This line don't reach the driveway. Can I help you with something?
I'm soliciting.
Huh?
I'm soliciting funds for Greenpeace. Did my partner get here before me?
I ain't seen anybody. You're trying to raise money for Greenpeace in rural Nova Scotia? In this weather?
The weather report said a mild day.
Well, it was up to about an hour ago. How long you been out in this?
The supervisor dropped me us off at the top of the road after lunch. We meet up with her at the carpool parking lot at the end of the day.
Hell of a deal.
A lot of people think they understand what Greenpeace does, but don't really. I've got some pamphlets and information in my case.
You think I'm going to stand out here in the middle of a sleet storm reading Greenpeace pamphlets? And you ain't exactly dressed for it. Look, I've got to clean up the kitchen before my wife gets home anyway. I can finish unloading later on. You can explain it to me while I'm doing the dishes. I'll just turn up the thermostat for a minute. You'll dry off and warm up quicker if you take off your jacket. That chair in the corner is made by the heat vent.
Thanks.
I was going to make myself a cup of tea. You want one?
What time is it? Please.
It's 3:45. See? There's a clock over by the fridge there on the wall.
Then, okay. Yeah, I'll have a cup of tea. Thanks. I have some pamphlets and printouts on the work Greenpeace is trying to do these days.
Oh, just put them on the table for now. You haven't much luck with your fundraising?
Not much.
Ain't your fault. Since you're working on the wrong side of the country. People on the East Coast know there's no scientist in the world ever said seals were an endangered species. So how come Greenpeace keeps screaming we have to save the seals?
The scientists said the cod weren't endangered either.
No, they didn't. The Department of Fisheries and Oceans said the cod weren't endangered. Well, how come I never saw a picture of Bridget Bardot cuddling a baby codfish?
Bridget Bardot doesn't work for Greenpeace. Greenpeace has to take every opportunity it can get to raise people's awareness and raise funds to help the ecology.
Well, I can't see you raising any funds in Nova Scotia. For most people around here, Greenpeace means a bunch of protesters playing monkey on the bridge from Halifax to Dartmouth. Blocking people just trying to get home after a hard day's work.
That was to draw attention to an American nuclear warship being in Halifax Harbor. You'd think, after the Halifax explosion, people would be more worried about what kind of accident could...
Where are you from? Toronto or somewhere?
Yeah, Toronto.
So here's somebody lives in downtown Toronto, coming into my home where we grow a half acre of vegetables every year without chemicals. And out back, there's 10 acres of woods that'll never be clear-cut as long as I'm alive. And you're asking me to give you money to help the ecology. Well, you gotta admit, it's pretty funny.
Things that happen in the rest of the world can affect your home. The rainforest in South America may seem thousands of miles away, but every hectare of them that gets destroyed may be less awful.
Over. Oh, how'd the game go?
We killed him!
Melissa, you better get inside. You're hot and sweaty in a cold wind.
Okay.
What'd you get that for, Daddy?
Well, you know, I had a day's work cut and brush behind Burke Village.
Uh-huh.
I went into the cafe to warm up and saw a notice that their high school was selling off old lockers for $2 a piece. Good for storing things.
What kinds of things?
Oh, all kinds of things. So I bought five.
Five?
Figured I'd put up a sign at Wade saying anybody that wants one can buy it off me for $10.
Ten?
Well, maybe eight. So was Mrs. Parker finally happy with the way you cleaned her bathrooms this time?
Oh, she's never happy. At least she wasn't miserable.
And she never complained about how clean you kept her mortgage when you were still working at the credit union.
That's ancient history. How was your day?
Oh, cut and brush and moving scrap metal. Nothing out of the regular. Melissa, get off to the school bus already?
Already? 10 minutes ago. Did you walk Clyde into Halifax before you put him on the line?
Nearly. That dog's got too much hound in him. Catches a whiff of anything that wasn't there yesterday, and he's off like a locomotive with his nose in the ground.
What's he on about now?
Howdy, car.
Hmm?
Kowalczyk. Wonder what he wants.
I guess he'll tell us.
Good morning, Mr. Marsden. Mrs. Marsden.
Good morning, Corporal. Come in so we can close the door.
Thank you. I'm just checking for information on the movements of a young woman who was soliciting door-to-door for Greenpeace yesterday. She disappeared.
Disappeared?
Yeah, she was here.
She was?
Well, I didn't want to mention it. It's kind of embarrassing. I was going to tell her right off to save her breath and keep on going, but here she was tramping through snowdrifts and sleet with nothing but short boots and a little leather jacket and tight pants. God knows how long she'd been out there with people slamming doors in her face. So I pretended like maybe she might be able to convert me and brought her into the kitchen and made her a cup of tea and let her proselytize at me for an hour or so. She kept checking the clock. I guess she had to meet her partner.
She didn't have a partner.
Huh? First thing she said was maybe my partner got here before me.
That's the first thing I'd say if I was alone going door to door in a strange neighborhood.
Well, anyway, when she got up to leave, I felt kind of bad for stringing her along and the poor girl being out in the cold all day with nothing to show for it. So I gave her $5.
$5?
Well, I just got 2 days' wages.
Ben, she wouldn't have had nothing to show for it. Those people get paid to go door to door.
They do?
Well, not a lot. But she probably made as much sitting in our kitchen drinking tea for an hour as you got for an hour clearing brush in the cold.
Well, she gave me a fridge magnet and some pamphlets. I dumped them in the garbage as soon as she was out the door. I get enough ribbon from the guys without leaving a Greenpeace sticker on my fridge.
I won't tell anybody. Did you happen to notice any indicators of recent drug ingestion? Say, for instance,
like pinprick pupils?
Or plate-sized pupils?
Yeah, like that.
We may be a middle-aged country mom and dad, Corporal, but we were both teenagers in the 60s.
I got no idea what the kids are ingesting these days, Corporal, but I didn't see any signs of drugs. She had a bit of the shakes at first, but that went away as soon as she got a few sips of hot tea in her.
Well, thank you for the information. I'll just keep knocking on doors along the road and see where the trail ends.
Corporal, isn't this kind of a routine detail for the detachment commander to take on?
I was encouraged to look into this personally. The young woman's mother is a cabinet minister. Apparently the daughter didn't feel as comfortable in Rosedale as Queen Street.
What street?
Oh, it's an area in Toronto where the artsy crowd hangs out. Nose rings and leather and all that. Or that's what they tell me in McLean's magazine. Probably the young woman in question just got a sudden urge to hitchhike back to Toronto and didn't tell anybody. But I have to investigate regardless. Have a good day now.
You too.
You got any work on today?
A couple of houses in town. But I've kept tomorrow clear. I have to clean my own house once in a while. My Darcy will try to do it all when she's home for a day off.
I vacuumed the whole house just last week.
Yeah, I noticed. I'm coming. I'm coming.
Mrs. Marsden, I have a warrant to search your property.
What?
The dog handler would like to investigate your woods out back, but your dog is in the way.
Clyde's line won't reach around the barn.
Go around the north side of the barn.
Good enough, Corporal.
You'd better step in and explain what this is all about.
The young woman I came inquiring about yesterday is still missing. This was the last house she appeared at. I've seen her picture. She was pretty delicate looking.
Was.
Wouldn't have been able to put up much of a fight.
Well, you said yourself she probably just got a sudden urge to hitchhike back to Toronto.
I've since been informed that that would be extremely out of character. The ground's still frozen too deep to dig a hole, except with a backhoe, but that also means a body will keep until the thaw.
A body?
If it was a kidnapping for ransom, her mother would have been contacted by now. An attractive young woman alone, dressed in a manner that would seem wild and loose to a lot of people, soliciting from house to house in a neighborhood where you have to squint through the trees to see your neighbor's roof. Whatever happened, I doubt that the initial intent was murder, but...
You think Ben would...
The only other home she visited where there was an adult male and no witnesses was Lawrence Wilkinson, a dozen homes back along the road. He says he told that Greenpeace girl to clear off and go try raising money in the outports of Newfoundland. After she'd left there and continued along the route her supervisor had given her, Lawrence Wilkinson drove into town and cashed his unemployment check at 3:32 p.m., then had a couple of drinks at the Legion. That leaves Ben Marsden, and Ben has a criminal record.
For having a pint of moonshine in his barn, that's not the same as... The only reason you even know the Greenpeace girl was here was because Ben told you.
He didn't tell you, did he? Until I came around inquiring. Bonnie, you and Ben have done me a few favors in the past, and I've tried to do a few for you. But I'm not your friend. I'm a police officer.
That cabinet minister is putting pressure on the RCMP to dig up the suspect. I'm the only lead Kowalczyk's got.
Is supper ready yet?
Not quite, honey. Keep doing your homework. I'll call you when it's on the table.
Okay.
I wonder how much tax money it costs for that expert dog handler to spend all day tramping through our woods for nothing.
One of these days, I'm going to set that timer without setting it off. I think Corporal Kowalczyk's been on the job too long. Well, not just the craziness of him suspecting you, but his idea that somebody'd just leave a body out in the woods until the ground thawed. Sure, it wouldn't rot. But the raccoons and the crows and... Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
Neither do I. And she was a nice girl. Even for all that spoon-fed baloney. Like talking to somebody from a cult. I guess she would have said the same thing about me.
Now, you're saying was...
Oh, let's hope not. Pretty little thing. You know one thing Kowalczyk was right about? Was to suspect me.
What?
Kowalczyk said he didn't think the initial motive was murder. People get urges. Well, like when you're standing on the cliff at Blometon looking down at the waves... And it's pretty, and you're not in a bad mood or anything. But you can see yourself jumping.
What's that got to do with...
Or maybe you've had too much to drink in the hot sun, and you head down to the swimming hole, and the only other person there is a 20-year-old girl you'd never seen before. And part of you is thinking, boy, doesn't she swim good? But maybe another part of you is thinking something else.
Well, thinking is one thing. But no matter how drunk you were, the minute you saw a flicker of hurt in someone else's eyes, you'd turn to mush.
Oh, I've hurt a lot of people in my life and kept on hurting them.
Sure. Some guy who thinks he's tough and figures he'll prove it by swinging a beer bottle at Big Ben Marsden. But you could no more hurt somebody innocent than fly to the moon.
I'm glad you think so.
I know so.
Well, I guess I'll take your word for it. But Corporal Kowalczyk ain't been married to me for 27 years.
I filled Clyde's water and I'm going to school.
Bye-bye, honey.
See you later, Pumpkin.
I've been thinking.
Uh-oh.
Funny that the only other adult male with no witnesses should be Larry Wilkinson. He's gone a bit weird hermit since his wife took the kids and ran off.
Well, who wouldn't? That's no reason to go accusing of doing something to that little girl.
I wasn't accusing him, just saying it's a strange coincidence.
Bonnie, you can't go thinking all sorts of horrible things about the neighbors just because they ain't been showing up for church lately. That's not like you.
That's not what I was saying.
Anyway, maybe it wasn't anybody from around here at all. Maybe somebody driving by stopped and offered her a lift. Or maybe she did just get an urge to head straight back to Toronto. No matter what her mother, the cabinet minister, says.
Maybe.
You think Kowalczyk just took Larry's word that he was at the bank and the Legion when that girl was already here?
No.
Well, there you go. Oh, hell. I gotta go to work.
So do I. Will you be home before Melissa gets home from school?
Yeah.
Weird. Melissa?
I'm in the barn.
What are you...
Just getting some rabbit feed.
Your father was supposed to be here when you got home from school.
He was. He knew you were going to be home in just a few minutes, so he went down to the village to get us a pizza and rent a couple movies.
Huh? It's only Friday.
He said to tell you. Ha ha, somebody bought one of them old school lockers off him.
Those old school lockers.
For $15.
You're kidding. Who'd pay $15 for a beat-up old locker?
That man back down the road. You know, the one with the geese in his pond.
Larry Wilkinson. If your father's just gone down to the village, he'll only be gone a few minutes. You'll be all right. I'm going to take Clyde for a walk in the woods.
Mom, why do you need the big screwdriver to go walking in the woods?
I just... Well, Clyde's leash is getting a little loose, so I may have to tighten it.
Huh?
What'd you find? Take it easy, Clyde. Sit.
Why the hell do you have to be so damn nosy, Bonnie?
Ben knows where I am, Larry.
Nah. If you knew where you are, you'd be here.
If you don't back away, I'll let the dog go.
That'd be a shame. If he goes for me, I'll just need one whack and he'll never go at anyone again.
Is that the same axe handle you used on her?
Nah, I burned that one.
Ben said she kept checking our kitchen clock. You told her to come back to your place around 5 o'clock after you'd gone in and cashed your check. Give her a donation.
I would have, too. Not that I give a damn about Guatemalan rainforest, but she was a good talker. And a pretty little thing. Pretty little titties hanging loose in her t-shirt when she opened up her jacket by the wood stove. So I reached out and touched one. And she jumps up screaming at that sexual assault, and that's the same thing as rape these days, and she's going to see me rot in jail, and... well, might as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb. When I picked up the kitchen knife, she stopped yelling at me. And then after, she was the only one who'd ever know. She promised me she wouldn't tell, but people lie when they're scared.
You didn't buy the locker till 3 days later. She was still alive, wasn't she? She was still alive. In the basement or somewhere. When Corporal Qualchuk was asking you questions.
Duct tape. Since I'd already gone far enough to get crucified, figured I might as well get as much as I could. Why'd you have to be so damn nosy, Bonnie? That locker's big enough for 2 short women.
Oh, Larry.
Ben.
You gonna put down that little stick or eat it?
Don't look so grim, Larry. I probably just saved your life. While you're trying to line up a good whack at the dog, Bonnie would have planted that screwdriver in the back of your neck. Isn't that right?
I would have tried. Put an extra blanket on the bed.
Good thinking. I stoked up the furnace a little more than usual. Jacked up the thermostat a notch.
Aren't you coming to bed?
You'd rather wait a minute till my feet get up to room temperature. Got chilled walking Clyde around and around the yard before he was set to come in for the night. Dang dog's so interested in his nose he forgets he's got business at the other end.
Lucky for us. If Clyde wasn't such a hound, Larry Wilkinson might still be walking around loose.
Maybe. I'm sorry, Bonnie. You were right about Larry Wilkinson.
I wish I wasn't. Ben, how did you know where to find me?
Hmm? Where?
In the woods where the locker was.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you, Bonnie. If you're ever going to make a career out of burglarizing houses or robbing people's backyards, you'll have to learn not to do it when there's fresh snow on the ground.
Thank you, Ben.
No, thank you. Mounties could have made my life miserable nosing around. I was the only suspect they had, even if the evidence was only...
circumstantial.
That, too. But if that cabinet minister had really pushed the Mounties to try and nail somebody for our daughter disappearing, well, I had motive and opportunity.
What motive?
You remember what I was saying about urges? There's a lot of people who think that any man who's got any woman alone and no witnesses within shouting distance...
sad way to live.
Sad way for that little girl to die.
How could somebody do something like that? Use and torture someone else.
Happens every day.
What?
Big fish picking on the little fish, because it makes them feel bigger.
That's not the same thing.
Maybe. Maybe it was just the wrong day and the wrong circumstances. Maybe if that poor girl hadn't happened to show up at just exactly when she did, Larry Wilkinson would have lived out the rest of his life without ever doing something like that.
No, if somebody's got something like that inside them, it's going to come out eventually. And he lived just down the road all these years.
Well, isn't that what the neighbors always say? He seemed like such a nice, quiet fellow.
You were right about Larry Wilkinson, Ben.
Huh?
Until he bought the locker, I didn't have any reason to suspect him, except he hadn't been very sociable lately. That's as bad as Corporal Qualchuk suspecting you, because you got a criminal record.
Huh. I wonder if I was ever really a suspect at all. Or if Qualchuk was just doing with you what you'd done with Clyde.
How's that?
Slipping you off your leash to go sniffing around the neighborhood. And giving you a reason to sniff her.
Corporal Qualchuk wouldn't do that.
Hmm.
That poor little girl was just trying to make the world a better place to live.
Yeah.
I still feel cold, Ben.
So do I. Maybe we should just hold on to each other for a while.
A lot longer than a while.
You've been listening to Cold Storage, written by Alf Silver, the first of our new series of Clean Sweep. Deborah Allen and Richard Donat starred as Bonnie and Ben Marsden. Also in the cast, Michael Pellerin as Corporal Kowalchuk, Raquel Duffy as the Greenpeace Girl, Stephen Sisk as Larry Wilkinson, and Ashley Swain as Melissa. The music was composed by Scott McMillan and David McIsaac, and was performed by Gordon Stobie, Jamie Gatti, and André Lacroix, along with the two composers. The recording engineer was Pat Martin, sound effects by Dermot Kenny. Peggy Hemsworth was the associate producer, casting by John Dunsworth and Alex Duncan. The coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. Clean Sweep was produced and directed in Halifax by Bill Howell, executive producer of The Mystery Project. Well, I've got about a little minute here before we have to go away for the weekend, so I'll just remind you that once again, next week, on November the 11th, on Remembrance Day, we'll be presenting the Frank McCourt special. Now, these will feature the letters which you have written, those of you who are teachers, about memorable students, students who made an impression for good or for ill. We'll also have some selections from Frank McCourt's recent reading in Victoria, entertaining very, and it was, too. And on the following day, on the 12th, we're going to be observing the Roman Vinalia, a feast honoring the god of wine. Now, this, of course, requires your participation. What you do at home in the afternoon is entirely up to you, but as for your round of participation, I'd like some wine stories from you. Perhaps these are stories about, you know, making wine at home, or perhaps they're stories about embarrassing incidents ordering wine in a restaurant. When it comes to wine, the sky is the limit. 1-888-SAID-GO, it's our toll-free line. The Roundup was produced this week in Vancouver by Rosemary Ellenbach, Ross Bragg, and Heather Kennedy. My name is Bill Richardson, and I wish you all the happiest of weekends. See you again on Monday.